Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me, as always, Timmy B. We've got a great show lined up for today, but before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods, and leave 5-star reviews. If you'd like to support the show and have some amazing healthy treats, check out middaysquares.com and use the code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15% on your first order, or click the link in our show notes. On today's episode, we talk to the latest and greatest tough winner, discuss what went down on Saturday with Thriller, UFC Spann versus Smith, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it. Yes, Timmy B,
Princey D, Fight Insight. Yes. Our guest today is a bantamweight fighter in the UFC of Filipino and El Salvadoran descent, who trains out of the infamous Team Alpha Male. This past year, he competed on the returning reality show The Ultimate Fighter, season 29, and was the fifth pick on Team Volkanovski. On August 28th, he put on one of the greatest tough finale performance since Griffin versus Bonner and became the winner in a thrilling split decision over Brady Highstand. But it was his post-fight in-cage interview that really stole the show, highlighting his personality and character, being someone deserving of our attention and our cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, the Tough 29 bantamweight winner, please welcome to the podcast. Oh no.
Ricky Hadouken Tercio!
Hey. What's up, y'all?
Ricky, listen, yo. You haven't had an intro like that ever. You don't know anyone who's ever done that. Come on.
Yo, that was good, Prince. Dude, hey, look, bro. That intro is so good, bro. You got me so hyped. Now I got to do something for the people, too, bro. Hold on. Right, now, we doing it right here on the podcast. Where we at?
Oh, my God. All right. For the audio listeners, you got to get this on YouTube.
No, listen, Ricky, sit down.
He's throwing nunchucks. He threw a Hadouken.
Ricky, listen, you don't want it.
All right, now Prince is throwing his nunchucks. This is getting insane.
Okay, listen, Ricky.
Hold on, Ricky. You gotta get your mic in. All right, this podcast has gone off the rails immediately, Prince, as we thought it would. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm good. I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? I'm having a good time on the podcast with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Was the nunchucks on the right angle? Were y'all able to see them right now on the camera?
Ricky, yeah, we got it. You're lucky you own your nunchucks. I got to give mine back to Tito Boy after. So good for you, bro.
That's fantastic, Prince. That's awesome, bro. I see you, man. Yeah, hey, we're having a good time. You know what I mean? I'm chilling, bro. So it's cool for sure.
Ricky, you're one of the most like charismatic guys that the Ultimate Fighter has, the UFC has right now on the roster. I mean, what a personality you've got. Ricky, for people that don't know about you and your upbringing, you're both Filipino and from El Salvador, your parents, correct?
Correct.
And so tell our fans and listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, where did you grow up and how did you get into martial arts?
Well, yeah, I grew up in Houston, Texas, you know what I mean? Yeah, my mom's family came from the Philippines. My dad's family came from El Salvador. The whole family met here in Houston, you know, that's where I was born, Houston, Texas, born and raised, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, my earliest memories, I can remember, you know what I mean, hitting the bag with me and my dad, my little brother, you know what I'm saying? Working out, you know, with the whole family in the garage, you know what I'm saying? My mom'd be there too, you know what I'm saying? And I remember hitting the bag, you know what I mean? Hitting the pads with my father at a young age. And then those are some of my earliest memories, you know what I'm saying? When I was a little kid, 5 years old and stuff. And then when I went into the dojo for the very first time, I was about 12 years old, you know what I'm saying? And that's when I started training Taekwondo, you know what I mean? So those were my first early memories was like that. The Taekwondo, the traditional martial arts. I'm so thankful that, you know, that was one of the first martial arts I ever did. And that's a great base that I had, you know what I'm saying? For sure, as a young boy, you know what I mean? And then before, later, learning, you know, wrestling in high school and then joining my first mixed martial arts gym, Gracie Baja the Woodlands, where I started training Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know? So, little origin like that.
Nice.
You know what, Ricky, I just wanted to say, man, so after watching that, you know, that TEF finale and you rolled in with the Filipino flag, like, honestly, ever since then, I've been going into every event rocking the Filipino flag. You know how many restaurants have been kicked out of rocking this thing?
Well, oh, man, hey, you've been kicked out of them restaurants, man. Hey, you know what? That's messed up, bro. They don't be eating. How they gonna kick you out of them restaurants?
Well, a part of the reason also, Ricky, was this was the only thing I was wearing. Just this. And I wore my mask, so, I mean, I made sure that was good. But pretty much, but I think that was probably the reason why I got kicked out. But, buddy, and that was amazing. Like I was gonna say, like Ricky, amazing, amazing performance. But Timmy, I think you were gonna go with your next question, buddy.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, Ricky, I said it in the intro, and I think I read it right when I was researching. But you're with Team Alpha Male, correct?
100%.
Okay.
Yes. So my home gym is Gracie Baja the Woodlands, but in you know, so my home gym is Gracie Baja the Woodlands. And then as well, when I moved to Sacramento, California, that was what, 2015, you know? So during the year 2015, after my fourth pro fight, I moved out there, you know what I mean? And that was like a huge growing experience, not just in my martial arts, but as well in my life in general. I was 22 years old. And I lived out there in Sacramento for like 6 years, you know what I mean? From 2015 all the way to 2022 or 2020, you know what I mean? And then after the coronavirus shutdowns happened, you know what I mean? That's when I took that opportunity to come back home and then be out here with my family again. You know, the time apart also was crazy, you know what I mean? So like, but it's sacrifices, bro. That's all it is. It's all about the sacrifices like that. And I was thankful that, like, you know, everything that I was learning out there in California helped me so much in my martial arts, from the punching and the kicking and all the techniques I learned early in my pro career helped me so much training over there with the Team Alpha Male boys. That's my home away from home, is Sacramento. So it's like Houston, Texas, Gracie Baja the Woodlands, that's my home. But Sacramento, that's my home away from home. That's my second home, training with the Team Alpha Male boys, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't have been able to have done it without the squad at Team Alpha Male, you know? And then to add on to that real quick too, it was like not just the learning experiences of the martial arts moves that I learned, but as well the life experiences of just being away from your family. You got to work your job, you know what I'm saying? I was bussing tables, you know what I'm saying? You know, I was working at the restaurant. My girl, she was working at the mall. You know, we had one car. We got to go this and there, you know what I'm saying? And it was the grind. We were in there grinding, hustling, you know what I'm saying? And we were like this, you know what I mean? Hey, you got to make rent. That's how you got to do it. That was the first time being away from home. So the life experiences too helped me grow as a person too. So like all the time, all the things that happened in Cali like that, it really helped me a lot as a fighter, you know what I mean? As a person too, you know, so I wouldn't have been able to have done it without a Team Alpha Male, you know what I'm saying? For sure. So helped me out big time. And they're forever in my corner. My corner is always going to be Gracie Baja the Woodlands and Team Alpha Male for sure.
Wow. It actually, Ricky, from Team Alpha Male, was there someone there from that squad that actually just elevated you to that next level? It's like, oh my gosh, taught you so much great things since coming over.
Yeah, great one. Well, let's I'll sit here all day naming everybody on the squad. Real talk, you know what I mean? I mean, I love the squad over there, you know what I mean? From all of our coaches, you know what I mean? From Uriah, you feel me on that? He's the general, you know what I'm saying? From Coach Danny on the wrestling, you know what I mean? To Coach Chris on the jiu-jitsu, you know what I'm saying? Then we got like Coach Joey on the boxing, you know what I'm saying? Coach Joey helped me out so much big time, you know what I'm saying? Real talk, you know what I mean? But then like we got so many other coaches too, you know what I mean? Man, I'll go ahead and give a shout out to Akbari. He helped me so much with my jiu-jitsu as well and my jiu-jitsu journey, you know what I mean? Shout out to Coach Felipe, Coach Fabio on the jiu-jitsu as well. They helped me out so much on my jiu-jitsu too. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. You know what I mean? As well too, you know, all of the homies too. You know, I got to give another shout out too. Shout out to Master Tong. You know what I'm saying? Through the early years. You know what I mean? On the Muay Thai, my goodness, it's like so, it was such a treat. So it's like, and it's like a whole long process with all the years like this, you know. And then I ain't even shout out all the homies, you know what I'm saying? All of the boys on the UFC roster, you know what I'm saying? Helped us out, even all of the boys on the come up too that aren't even on the roster, that aren't even on TV yet. That a lot of the guy that maybe some of the fans don't even know yet because they haven't seen him on TV. But man, we got all the dogs in the gym. You know what I'm saying? So it really is a great environment, man. It's great. One of the things I love the most, real talk, about the Alpha Male Squad, real quick too, is because the team is so big. You know what I'm saying? You have a lot of knowledge that you could pick from. Whether I gotta go over here. Hey, yo, Slava, let's talk about some Muay Thai. It's one of my European Muay Thai homies. Or hey. Klingsheimer, that dude, he a Division I All-American, Big Ten champion. Let's talk about some wrestling, you know what I'm saying? Or, my homie Dwight over here. Oh, we be grinding, you know what I'm saying? That's my boy. Shout out to Dwight. That's my first friend ever met at the squad when I was just a new guy and I didn't know anybody. And Dwight, he was a new guy also. So, you a new guy? I'm a new guy. Hey, let's be friends. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So, you know, I got a lot of great memories for sure.
No, that's amazing, Ricky. And like you say, you know, sometimes I watch the Team Alpha Male videos on Instagram and they show these videos where it's just clips of the sparring. And you'll see some guy throw some move and I'll put in the comments, I'll be like, who the hell just threw that kick? And they'll put the name of the guy. And it's like a guy, you're right, a guy that's just on the come up. He hasn't made it big yet, but I'm like, what the hell is this guy? And I'm like watching him, you know, ever since, right? Like waiting to see where that guy pops. But yeah, I mean, that gym is amazing. What a treat that you have. And you're a bantamweight. And so for them to have all the bantamweight fighters too, like your size and your strength and your speed, right? So you would be able to compete against guys that you will be competing against in the Ultimate Fighter. It's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's a star-studded cast. At the gym, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like it really is like a one-stop location, you know what I'm saying, for everything that we need. We got all of some of the greatest training partners we could ask for, you know what I mean? From obviously, like I said, all the boys on the UFC roster at the highest level, and then even all of our dudes that are on the come up too that are still high level. They just haven't gotten that breakthrough fight yet. You know what I mean? But they coming up too. They gonna get their shine. Watch, a lot of the homies, they gonna get it. Y'all gonna be seeing them. You know what I mean? And
for sure,
you know, from training in the octagon upstairs, you know what I mean, pushing each other, training on the wrestling mats, you know what I'm saying, and throwing around that metal, you know what I mean? We got all that equipment, so we got it all over there, you know what I'm saying? It's good.
Yeah, looks amazing, Ricky. I have to ask you, after your fight, you know, the speech that you gave, and I know one of the fan questions kind of asks about it, but after the event, when you were in the backstage answering questions, you did something really interesting, and I just want to ask, like, if you were coached to do this or whatever, but you would sit at the desk, and you were so polite and respectful listening to the question. You wouldn't even have the mic in your hand. They would ask you the question. You would almost like pause for a second, think about how you want to answer. Then you'd grab the mic, give a very good answer, like very well thought out and articulate, and then place the mic down and then respectfully wait for the next question. Is that just you, or like, did someone tell you how to do it? Like, it was just, I just really caught on to that, thinking like how good you were in the media scrum.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I really appreciate you saying that one, bro. For us, nice to be, man. You know, yeah, definitely during those first time for everything. So, like, doing my first press conferences, they all happened at the beginning of my UFC career during this Ultimate Fighter season, you know. And the coaching came from my mom and some YouTube coaching as well. My mom, she does a lot of public speaking. So her being involved in her field, she does a lot of public speaking. So she gave me a lot of coaching on that. You know what I'm saying?
That's just like, hey, awesome.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I appreciate it. So yeah, she's good at that. And so like my mom helped me with her experience. And then as well, I have experience in theater arts as well. So as a young boy, when I was a little kid, I would do theater arts. So like I got experience in like, you know, just putting myself in front of people, you know what I mean? And then little things I learned on YouTube, also too, prior to my, like, you got to prepare for your fight. You got to prepare for your fight with the hard training and doing your training in the mats. But as well too, I made sure that I did my studying on what do I got to do in front of a camera setting? What do I got to do in an interview setting? You know what I mean? And if I give one tip, one of the tips that was said to me was, all you got to do is listen. Just listen. Sometimes you get ahead of yourself and they're talking to you, but then you want to already be thinking about what you're going to say, but you might get jumbled up or you might get twisted up. So that was one of the advices that was said to me, and as well that I learned on YouTube too, was just, hey, just listen. Sit down and breathe. Put the mic down. Just listen to the question. Just listen. Then once you listen and you hear it, all right, think about it real quick, you know what I'm saying? And then go ahead and speak what was going to happen, you know? But I just take my time with it. So, you know what I mean? Then I think it helps me give the best answer I possibly could give on camera as well, you know what I'm saying? That way I could deliver a positive message or deliver a strong message, the strongest message possible I could to the viewers and the fans, you know what I'm saying?
That's freaking crazy. What a great answer.
Well, you know what,
Ricky, hold on one sec, Prince. Ricky, what before I let Prince ask the question, what does your mom do public speaking on? Just so we can.
Yeah, she does it for her business. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, so my mom, she has different businesses that she'll do for. So from time to time, when she's talking with the people on big stages, you know what I mean, sharing her thoughts and her insights and her experiences, that's whenever she'll be doing her public speaking, like at meetings or at seminars or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yes.
Nice.
Ricky, actually, I wasn't going to ask a question. I thought part of the reason why you would put the mic down is because you're half Filipino, and once you see the mic, it's like, it's instant, like you're instant karaoke time. You're like, okay, never mind. I gotta put it away. That's the question. Because once we have, right? Once you get the mic on your hands, you're like, okay, yes, I'm here to answer questions, not to sing a song. Put the mic over here. Thank you. All right, next, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I gotta really just hold it in, bro.
Hold it in.
But you know, but by the end of the, yeah, exactly. Let's go. But by the end of the interview, though, I couldn't contain myself anymore. Right. I had to sing, bro. I had to do it. It took over.
If it's on for too long, you're about to have a seizure, literally. If you're like, oh my gosh, here we go. This is my time to sign. Here we go.
Yes, sir. You're the man, Prince.
And for those that are listening on Spotify or Apple iPods or whatever, wherever you're listening, I was showing the photo of where Ricky was actually singing karaoke during the conference. Like, that was amazing, Ricky.
Hey, thanks, bro. I was glad that I got a chance to do that. You know what I mean? In a distant fantasy of mine, you know, like, martial arts is my number one talent. You know what I mean? It's my passion. I love the martial arts. I love coaching. I love fighting, you know. But in a distant fantasy of mine, you know, I would say I've always wanted to rock out at a concert and just put on a concert for the people. So I was like, all right, this is my opportunity. I win this fight. I'm going to bring out the mic. I'm going to do a little skit for the people. I'm glad that it was, you know, I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. You know what I mean? The media guys that were there, you know what I mean? Shout out to them. My coaches were having fun, you know what I'm saying? And the fans that watched it online, I'm glad people enjoyed it for sure. I had a great time. I'm going to definitely be doing that more often, I think, in the future, for sure.
Nice.
But Ricky, I gotta say though, when you busted out the karaoke, you brought out the mic, I looked into my room. The people, my family was watching the fans. I looked around. There was not one dry eye in the room. Everyone was like, "Oh my gosh, he's doing it! He's actually doing it!"
Oh, fantastic, bro!
Every titos and titas and cuyas and ates out there, they're like, "Yes." He's doing it.
Hey, that's what I'm doing. That's what I did it for, bro. You know what I mean? For all the family. I'm glad I could bring a tear to their eyes. You know what I mean?
And it's amazing, Ricky. We are actually, this podcast, this is episode 31, I think. We just started during the pandemic too, Ricky. So, I mean, like 31 episodes in, and to have you, the Ultimate Fighter winner, for us is like such an honor and a treat. We actually are now also taking our podcast. We're on Filipino TV across Canada. So to all the viewers that are watching as a result of us being on Filipino TV, you know, thanks for watching. And, you know, we're glad that Ricky can be here to talk to you guys.
Hey, Hey, thank you to the fans too, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's it. That's incredible. You know what I mean? Do it for my people. You know what I mean? Salamat, for sure.
Yay.
For sure. Ricky, after you win the Ultimate Fighter, there's a website or there's an Instagram page that we always look at called MMA Gains, and they track people's Instagram growth. And so yours went, and this, they normally do it like the Wednesday after, but yours went, and here's a picture of it again, MMA_gains. You went from 16,000 followers, which is a lot, but that's probably as a result of you being on the show. Right after that week, though, you increased by 24,000 to 40,000. I think it's up to like 45,000 now. How has your life changed in that respect, like with the public attention and the media and stuff like that? Like, how has that changed you or changed for you?
Well, if I could share a couple, I'll share maybe two. So like some of the cool ones, and that's really cool for me. There was a dream as a young boy, and now it's like real. Is like, you know, sometimes whenever I'd be in the grocery store, I was at the mall, or, you know, maybe some, or I was at the sporting goods store or whatever, you know what I mean? Sometimes I might run into a random fan and then they'll be like, "Hey, yo, what's up, Rick? I saw you on the TV." You know what I'm saying? That was an incredible fight. And so that's always cool. I always make sure that, you know, it was a young kid, you know what I'm saying, with his family, or if it was like some older cat or whatever, hey, let's take some photos, bro. You know what I mean? Got to take some photos with the people, you know what I mean? So that one's wild. Is like I was at a show the other day at the Fury FC, you know, over here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
I was watching the show, and then and obviously that's the MMA scene. So everybody in Houston MMA is going over to the show. So then, like, you know, to be representing the Houston MMA scene as well in my community too, you know what I'm saying? That's awesome. And like when I was there, man, just from getting from my seat to the bathroom, I was having to take like 20 photos with everybody, and it was good. Every single person that wanted a photo, man, I was taking, let's take a photo. Oh yeah, come on, I'll take a photo, bro. All right, I got a photo with you too, bro. Man, it was like, it took me 10 minutes just to get to the bathroom, bro. You know what I mean? So like, and that's cool, because it's like, without the fans, you can't do it, bro. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, it's good. I always make sure I dab it up with the people and show love to all the homies like that, man, because that's really cool, because as a kid, it was just a dream. So that's nice. You know what I mean? I can appreciate that a lot, from the people showing love. You know what I mean? And then if on another note, like you're saying with the Instagram boom, that's cool too, just on a social media topic. So like, hey, make sure that I could use that too as well to one, like, you know what I mean? Whatever are the type of, you know, topics that I was talking about or things that I put on there, that's what's up. And then if I use it too to build my brand and like whatever, sell some merchandise to the people, that's more too that I use for my business, you know what I mean? That I get, you know, build up my brand, some merchandise to the people or whatever ideas I may be having, you know what I mean? Maybe some seminars and all these things, and that helps build my brand. Also, that's more money in my pocket for me and my family, you know what I mean? Giving back like that is good, you know? So there's some of the things I think about.
For sure, man. And like, who doesn't want to go to a Ricky Hadouken Tercios seminar? Like, Ricky, if you ever come to Toronto or anywhere within the Toronto region, like, I will be there 1,000,000%. Like, that would be incredible, man. Like,
yeah,
thank you, Tim. I think people would be so excited to meet you in real life.
And the amazing part about it too, Ricky, one of the things I really respect about you is, man, you preach to the kids. Like, literally, when you gave that speech to the kids, listen, follow your dreams. I was in there. I'm just like, Prince, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just... Oh geez, it's just so tough. It was like a very inspirational speech, and I know that also on your side gig, you teach jiu-jitsu, right? Or
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been a coach since I was a teenager. You know what I mean? And it was very important to me to make sure that in that moment after the victory, I definitely in my vision that I had planned, you know, prior to the fight, in my preparations to the fight. You know, I wrote a few notes down on paper, and I kind of had them in my mind. I didn't have a speech like pre-memorized, you know what I mean? But I had a couple of points like, okay, win the fight, you know what I mean? Then that'll be cool. Then make sure then you're blessed and you win the fight. Then make sure you say like a couple of points, bing, bang, boom, bing. And in the moment, man, the words, they just flowed from my heart and from my soul. So I was so thankful that I was able to win the fight. And then with that, I was able to deliver a message and hope to inspire whoever I did through the television. You know what I'm saying? And it was for sure. I was glad to have done that, you know?
No, Ricky, and that and those words live on forever, because in today's day and age, like when you're saying it out onto television, it's being recorded on Fight Pass. Like I just rewatched the fight and the speech the other day. You know, it's on the internet, it's on YouTube, it's everywhere. And I just want to read it out because actually we'll get to the fan questions now because we don't want to take up too much of your time. But one of the questions,
I'm having a good time, bro. Keep it going. We chilling, it was, baby, for sure.
It was from actually the fan question was from my wife, and she said your speech was so powerful. You know, and let me just quote it here. It was, believe in yourself. Don't fear failure. Dream big. Work hard. Stay positive. Enjoy the journey. And so my wife is asking, where did that come from? Like, and I think we're hearing it now, but that was, I mean, just so you know, and that she wasn't the only person that asked that. Lots of people were saying like, hey, how did the guy think of something like that to say in the moment? But like you're saying, you kind of had it planned and ready.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That particular line, that was one of the bullet points that I had in my mind. Like, okay, I believe that this was one of the lines. I said that line on the reality show after the semifinal fight, you know. And, you know, I said it like that. I said, hey, believe in yourself. Don't fear failure, you know. And then that one was a quote that was said to me as a young boy, you know what I'm saying? Like I'd seen that quote on TV. I remember I seen that one on TV on like on some anime, you know what I'm saying? And I remember it resonated with me as a kid, it just resonated with me as a kid. And I was like, oh, I'll say that one. You know, it's very simple, but to the point, you know what I mean? Believe in yourself. You got to have faith, you know what I'm saying? That faith in yourself, you know what I'm saying? And to go after whatever it may be that your goals are, you know what I mean? And don't fear failure, you know what I mean? That like, hey, like, just go for it without any fear. You know what I mean? You just reach for the stars. Even if you fall, you land on the clouds. You know what I'm saying? That's how I always looked at that one. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to give it your best shot. And whatever happens, at least you gave it your best shot. You know what I mean? And as well, the second part of the quote, that was one of the quotes from Uriah Faber. You know what I mean? So shout out to him for him saying that one. That's like one of the Team Alpha Male mantras. You know what I mean? The dream big, work hard, stay positive, enjoy the journey. You know what I mean? Four great, great lines like that. And simple but powerful, right there to the point. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's one of the Team Alpha Male mantras that Uriah Faber had said. It's written on the wall. You know what I mean? But hey, I made sure that I was out there to preach the gospel on the big screen like that. You know what I'm saying? So it was cool. I'm glad that I was able to deliver my message and as well throw some shine as well too for my boy Uriah as well, you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad the people took it with positive stride, you know.
Guys, you know what's crazy? Because usually when you're competing against a championship, it's the final fight. You're usually thinking about the fight. But Ricky, I feel like in round two, you're still thinking about your victory speech. I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm gonna hit this note. Okay, wait, let me just throw a swing kick first. Superman punch. Okay, wait, okay, what's it? Let me back. Okay, you know what? I might use this quote. Okay, this is what I'm gonna stick with these notes. Okay. Time to just finish the round three. Like, Ricky, I feel like you were focused more on the victory speech, man. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, bro. I had to do it. I really wanted that victory so bad, man. I'm glad that that it all worked out in the end, you know what I mean? For sure. Like, it was a tough fight. It was a very close fight between me and Brady. And just that topic alone, too, man. Just having to fight Brady in a fight. We were so close in the house, you know what I mean? I was so close with everybody on the Volkanovski team, you know what I'm saying? And, like, just, you know, we trained together for so many weeks. We were cooking together. I remember, as a memory, I'll share real quick on the podcast, I remember Brady, he knew where my secret frying pan was because nobody was doing their dishes. So I had a secret cast iron skillet frying pan that I would use. Then I would use it, but then I would hide it in a secret cabinet in the house. You know what I mean? And even Brady knew where my secret frying pan was. He'd be like, hey, Ricky, can I use the cast iron skillet? I'd be like, yeah, just go ahead and use it and put it back in the secret location cabinet. When you're done, it's all good, buddy. You know what I'm saying? And, man, we were great friends, man. We were training hard together to fight each other. It was nuts, bro. It was kind of wild. But, I mean, it was all good. All respect between me and Brady in the end, bro. But I was glad that I got the victory for sure, man. We pushed each other to the limit, me and Brady did. It was a blood and guts battle. He had a very strong game plan with the grappling implementation, you know, implementing his strong jiu-jitsu and wrestling game, you know. And I really had to be smart in that fight for sure, man. It was crazy, you know what I mean? After it was all said and done and, like, I saw the blood and everything like that. And like in the moment, you're hurting each other. I'm trying to elbow him and punch him. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like all I could think about was attacking in the moment. But after it was done, I'm glad that me and Brady had nothing but respect for each other in the end, man. But because I know we were really in there trying to like hurt each other. So, but it's crazy. But it's all good. It's all love in the end. All respect in the end between me and Brady, for sure. I say that.
So, Ricky, that segues right into one of the fan questions from @Troyster. They ask, have you spoken with Brady since that night? And have you guys continued to be friends since?
Good question, man. You know, yeah, the last things I had said to Brady was, was when we were in the octagon, and then I was like, hey, man, it was a great fight, man. All respect, you know what I'm saying? Whenever we'd spoke in the octagon, you know what I'm saying? I tried to catch him a little bit later, like after, but I didn't get a chance to just because like you're running around, you got to go over here, but then they're over there. So I wanted to see him again in the Apex, you know what I mean? But I didn't get a chance to see him again in real life. You know what I mean? Like I was maybe on one side of the Apex and then he was somewhere else too. So I didn't get to run into Brady again and talk to him. You know what I'm saying? I wish I would have, but I mean, I know it's like, you know, I'm sure we'll run into each other again later in the future. You know what I'm saying? I'll give him a hug when I see him. You know what I'm saying too? You feel me on that? But it's all love between me and Brady. You know what I mean? It was just crazy that we had to fight. Like fighting is just such a crazy, like high intensity situation. You know what I mean? So like, it was just crazy. But I say this too, man, like out of all the guys, I was so close with everybody on Volkanovski team with I'm gonna name everybody with Lampros and Mitch, you know what I'm saying, and Brady and freaking Ryder and Aaron and Urbina and Brian Battles, you know what I'm saying? Like we were all close, but me and Brady, we had the craziest relationship now because everybody were all close, but in the end, me and Brady had to fight each other. So and that's an experience that we're going to share just in general on that, man. It was just intense, man. You know what I mean? So it's just like, but for sure, I just say it again, man. I mean, I just got it's all loving, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good.
Ricky, you should just go send him over your cast iron skillet, the same one they use at the house. I think that's the only way. I think he'll start crying, right? I swear.
Bro, that's why I brought that up too right now, the cast iron skillet, man, because I just remember like the most recent memories is me and Brady punching each other and elbowing each other. You know what I mean? But I look back, I remember, bro, we were in there every day. I was sharing the cast iron skillet with him, man. You know what I mean? So like it was a weird house, bro. It was really, really crazy in that place. You know, no, nobody awesome. Wanted to do their freaking dishes, bro. I was like, God, man, it's some bullshit.
Ricky, that is life, my friend. If the Ultimate Fighter teaches you anything, it's that people don't want to do dishes. That's the rule. Getting to another question. This is on the lighter side. @Jazur asks, who do you use in Street Fighter?
Ken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a Ken player for sure. Yeah.
And
let me ask you a quick question, Tim. But your brother's name is Ryu?
Yes, he is. No, it's his real name, Ryu. Yeah, Ryu.
Wow. You know that's so cool.
Ain't that crazy? Yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he's a cool guy.
And is that Ryu because of Street Fighter? Like your parents named him after the Street Fighter?
My parents actually did. My parents 100% got the inspiration from the video game. You know what I'm saying? So ain't that wild? You know what I'm saying? We're just kids. And my parents got inspiration from him. So they named him, you know, Ryu like that. Named him Ryu. You know what I mean? And and then randomly just on that day after my very first amateur MMA fight when I was 17, you know, after my first amateur MMA fight when I was 17, I won the fight. I took my mouthpiece out. I threw the mouthpiece at the crowd. I hit the camera guy. I was like, oh, that was lame. That didn't work. You know what I mean? And I was like, what's something else I could do that'd be cool? And I said, oh, yeah. I just said, Hadouken. I shot the fireball, and it worked out good. So I just always did it. You know what I mean? After that day, felt good.
And then there was some fan art that you posted on your Instagram. I'm going to share it. This was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Look at that, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, what's up? I appreciate you sharing that.
Right?
That's shout out to the boy Eric like that, you know what I'm saying? And then he ended up he ran that action, and I think I'm gonna put that one on a t-shirt probably.
That's what I'm saying. That's a pretty good one, man. That's pretty cool.
Definitely. I'm gonna put down a t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, show him some love like that, you know, for sure.
I think this is our last fan question we'll get to is @SuzyQZ asks, you are still very pretty, Are you sure you want to go with Hadouken?
That's hilarious. Thanks. Yeah, you know, I've always gone with Hadouken, you know what I mean? Even on, look, even on my high school Letterman jacket, you know what I mean? I graduated in 2011. Even on my high school Letterman jacket, on the back of my jacket, it says, Tercios Hadouken on the back of the jacket, you know what I mean? So I've had that nickname been with me on my back since I was wrestling in high school, you know what I'm saying? And but for sure as well, Pretty Ricky, they've been calling me that also since high school. My coaches, they would be like, oh yeah, Pretty Ricky, what they call him, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like yeah. They would always say that. That's from like the Martin or whatever, I think, you know what I mean, from the 90s. But yeah, they would call me that too. So like, yeah, like both nicknames, Pretty Ricky, Ricky Hadouken, they've both been with me since I was a young boy, you know what I mean? So like but in the octagon, right before I'm about to go into the Bloodlust, they gotta call me Ricky Hadouken, you know what I mean? But AKA, y'all can call me Pretty Ricky anytime on the streets or whatever. They call me that's my nickname too. I get it. But when Bruce Buffer announced me though, Ricky Hadouken, let's go.
All right, that's pretty good. And Ricky, I have to ask, if your brother was named after a famous video game character, who are you named after? What is Ricky named after?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, my brother, he got the cool video game character name, you know what I mean? And yeah, they just, for me, my parents, they just picked Ricky because they thought it sounded cool, you know what I mean? Yeah, 100%.
All right.
But yeah, for sure.
Well, Ricky, I'll tell you now, there's a reason why. When you have like one Filipino parent, they love to go to town with the names. You're lucky you didn't get named like Doormat.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, look at my name.
I guess I did get lucky.
My Prince, right? I mean, I was supposed to be named Princess, but what are you going to do, right? It's one of those things. You just get loaded up with the wicked name. But those man, Street Fighter, that's awesome, bro. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. It's wild.
Prince, before we let Ricky go, is there anything that you want to say to him?
Ricky, actually, man, you know what? I don't know if you have any time, but Ricky, I think you need to bust it out, buddy. I think you need to bust out the, where's the karaoke machine? Where is it at?
Bro. Oh man, holy moly, talking about busting out the karaoke machine right now. Holy moly. Oh man, I think I gotta get that thing charged up real quick, bro. I think it ain't charged yet, bro. Oh man.
No worries. But you know what, Ricky, no, I appreciate you taking the time and you know answering our questions and actually coming to the podcast. You know what, actually, just maybe shout outs, a little bit of a shout out to the El Salvadorian fans as well out there too, right? I mean, you're bigging up Philippines, but anything you have to say for El Salvadorian fans that are watching and, you know, keep, you know, have their eye on you?
Yeah, for sure. If I could say a couple of things to the Salvadorian fans, you know what I mean? I'll give a quick shout out, you know what I mean? Shout out to the gyms out there too in El Salvador, you know what I mean? They're holding it down. Like my pops, he's still out there in El Salvador, you know what I'm saying? So like he'd be out there, he pulled up to the spots over there, and I'm gonna pull up too once I get over there in the near future right now. So shout out to the 300 Academy out there in El Salvador, and shout out as well to the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Academy out there in El Salvador as well. You know, that's one thing too, to show love to my people out there in El Salvador, to my family out there, and as well to the community out there in El Salvador. I'm really much so looking forward in the future to when I pull up out there to El Salvador to be able to train over there, but then as well do a little bit of teaching too while I'm out there with my pops, but train as well too and do some teaching, you know what I mean, at the academies, show some love out there, you know what I mean, because yeah, for sure, I know everybody was very proud, you know what I'm saying, and so just it makes me happy, obviously, to have represented my people with great pride, you know what I'm saying. So yeah, it's I'm glad. Thanks for the plug like that, Prince. You know what I'm saying.
Always. But listen, Ricky, again, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing, and you know you're doing it for the kids, right? For the future out there, right? So again, we appreciate you. Much love when you come up here in Toronto. We got you, Adobo Lumpia. Sinigang, we got you, baby. All right. So
yeah,
you
know, thank you.
Out here, reach out to me.
Yeah, that's right. We have so many great Filipino restaurants out here, Ricky, that when you come out here, we would definitely love to go with you to one for sure. Mm-hmm. I do wanna go to your seminar. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna bring a Nintendo because I wanna play you in some Street Fighter. I'm
bet.
I, I'm confident. I feel good. I feel like we'd be a good match at that.
Fantastic. That's a good move, man. Hey, we got the whole action set up.
Exactly. Solid. Ricky, before you go, is there anything that you wanted to say or anything that you wanted to shout out?
Good question, real quick. You know, you know what? I didn't get a chance to do it. I'll do it one time, okay? I did it on the podcast. I'll give y'all a 1 minute lick on one of my excerpts from the book, from the journal. Is this okay?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Ricky, this is amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, cool. I will give one excerpt, okay? I'll give one page right here that I will read, okay? This is from May 20th. This was the final day in the Ultimate Fighter House to set up the setting, okay? This is the last day in the Ultimate Fighter House going into the semifinal fights. You know what I'm saying? And they had actually put a little bit of this one on the show, but I'll read the whole page. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I wrote this one in the morning. I woke up in the morning on this one. I had the feeling to write. I wrote it down on paper before I did all of my warm-ups leading up into the morning of and then going into the fight later that day. So I wrote, May 20th, 2021, fight day, semifinals. I wrote, today is the last day here in the Tough House. I woke up with such a great feeling in my chest on this fight day. Thank God for blessing me with this day, another day to live my MMA dream. I pray, please God, protect me inside the octagon. I say thank you to the universe for all that has come into action to make this dream a reality. I say thank you to myself for having the guts and courage to pursue my dreams. This is my life. This is my path. I'm continuing to be spiritually awakened each and every single day. This way of life has helped me grow and shape me into the man I am today. I wouldn't be the man I am without martial arts. I am a martial artist through and through to the very core of my being. I can remember being a little kid saying I didn't want to do Taekwondo anymore, LOL. I'm glad I kept going. I was just being a silly little kid that day. I'm so thankful for the massive impact that martial arts has played in my life. I wouldn't be the man I am today without martial arts. I even met the love of my life in jiu-jitsu class. Thank you to Allah for your blessings. On this day, I'm filled with gratitude. I'm grateful I get to step in and fight another day. I'm grateful to step into the UFC octagon once again and live out my childhood dream. The last thing to do today is to get my hand raised. I'll fight with all my power and my spirit.
Yay. Wow. Yeah. Amazing, Ricky. That's amazing, man.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Ricky, that is really beautiful, man. We normally take a couple of clips from our episodes and we release them as reels on Instagram to, you know, kind of promote and whatnot. And that for sure will be, you know, we can only do 15 seconds, but I will definitely cut like some good 15 second bits from there to be able to add, because that is really beautiful, man. It reflects the kind of person you are, it reflects the character that you have. And I'm telling you, in today's world, you know, with professional athletes and people that are in the news and stuff like that, like people need to be looking at people like you to be able to look up to and to emulate, you know, with their children or for themselves. Like that's the kind of person we want.
I really appreciate that, Tim. That's very, very kind of you, bro. Thanks, man.
Yeah, for sure. So we will do that, Ricky. And of course, you know, we welcome all your fans and people to come over and watch our podcast as well. Ricky, thank you so much for joining us. We had such an amazing time. We hope that one day you can come on again as well.
Hey, look, hey, y'all already know I'll be out there. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm sure we'll get to chop it up again in the future. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Thank you so much, Ricky, and all the best to you in your future and with everything in life. Good luck to you.
All right. Hey, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Prince. I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks, take care, Ricky. Be good, hey, buddy.
Have a good one. Peace. Bye-bye. Later.
If I can see it.
Oh, no.
Then
what are you doing?
I do it. Ricky didn't sing through it.
Okay, Prince, we went a little bit long, but if you are someone that did not thoroughly enjoy that interview, we don't want you to listen to our podcast anyways, because I could talk with that guy for friggin' forever.
I know.
What a good guy, man. What a good guy. And if you have not watched his fight, you know, you can check it out on Fight Pass. If you don't have Fight Pass and you can't watch the fight, go just look him up on YouTube. Look up some of his like after fight speeches, like we're talking about, the way he's so articulate, how he spoke on our podcast here today, right? What a wonderful guy, man. Whew.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and Ricky, so much, man, like the amount of energy he brings to an interview and to the podcast. Yeah. Literally, if you guys you have to watch this on YouTube just because the intro was nuts. But again, guys, I just want to throw it out there. If you guys want to watch this video, you can watch this on YouTube, a Fight Inside podcast. Follow, subscribe. You can follow us also on Instagram, Fight Inside Podcast. And also you can listen to us at Spotify, Fight Inside Podcast as well. You can see it. Facebook, and also we are in TikTok.
Yeah, we're everywhere. And Prince, I do want to give a shout out to a company that we are working with. They are called Midday Squares. Amazing functional chocolate bars. Okay, so check out in our show notes, as Prince said at the top of the show, in our show notes, there's a link there. You can save 15% on your first order, or just go to middaysquares.com and use the code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save that same 15%. It helps the show out, and it's going to help you out, because I'll tell you, Prince, I have been eating them a lot lately during the day so that I don't snack on garbage. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I'm down for the last bar, so yeah, I can tell you this.
Yeah, I do like the crunchy the almond crunch one the best. I think that's my favorite.
Peanut butter is the best. Oof.
All right, for those that have just joined the podcast for the first time, because you're watching because of Ricky, or maybe because you came to us through Filipino TV, or our Instagram has been growing, so maybe you're just a new viewer. Thank you for showing up. And also, we do want to announce that next week on the podcast, I think from now on, I should announce the next guest, like right after our guest, so that people get hooked. It is our very first ever BKFC competitor, Prince. This is so exciting. You know, we have been talking a lot about BKFC. This is our first ever BKFC fighter. She's Canadian. Her name is Melissa Karagiannis. She's a former King of the Cage champion, 12-2 kickboxer, just signed on with BKFC. She has her debut fight on the very first ever New York City card with BKFC in November. So we're excited to welcome Melissa Karagiannis to the show next week.
All right. Yeah. And also, guys, I wanted to say again, thank you again, everyone, for actually, we hit our 1K mark in Instagram. So that's huge as well.
Crushed it.
So yeah, thanks again, everybody, for following us, and appreciate all the love and the comments. You guys, if you leave comments, we will answer it. We will get back to you. And
All right. Let's talk about a few things, Prince. We're not going to have time to get to everything because we want to keep this within our hour that we normally do. But I do have to talk about, oh boy, I guess this.
Oh my gosh.
All right. We're talking about Conor versus MGK. Right. So for those of you that don't know, they were at some sort of thing, VMA Awards, maybe.
Yep. VMA Awards.
There's videos of Conor whipping a drink at MGK for an unknown reason, whether he wanted a photo with him, whether he wanted a photo with Megan Fox.
I think he knocked over like a whole tray. It was a whole tray that.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah. It was like massive amount of drinks that flew over. But
yeah. Prince, do we care about this at all?
You know what? Listen here. It's publicity at its finest. I mean, listen, no one really knows what happened. Everyone's, you know, making assumptions of what's going on, but hey, I wouldn't be surprised if something led up after this, right? If there was a massive event like that they're working on to pick a fight in the middle of a VMA Awards, I have no idea.
I just don't know if any of this is real, Prince. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's real. I don't really care. Like, I mean, it's not like Conor's going to fight this guy, right? Like, Conor should be worried about just getting his leg back in shape, but I don't know. That's just nonsense. Prince, I don't think you know about this, but I wanted to show you this one. I was fighting with people online today or yesterday. Have you seen this? This is, for those that are on audio only, I'm showing a pic from MMAfighting.com. They did a interview with Stefan Bonner of Ultimate Fighter fame, right? UFC fame. And he's lying in bed. And if you've seen recent things with him, he's got something going on, man. The guy obviously having some sort of drug troubles or problems. He's had some weird videos. This guy interviews him while he's lying in bed And the video is brutal. Like, he is obviously hungover or, you know, intoxicated in some way. And the quote here on screen, and I apologize for the language, let me fucking fracture your lumbar vertebrae and see how you feel 2 weeks later. They're concerned because they don't believe me and they think I'm trying to score some pills. That's Stefan Bonner talking to the guy who is trying to conduct an interview while the guy is obviously in massive pain, on drugs, not of his right mind. And then they post it, man. They like post the clip as like clickbait. And I was like arguing with people online going, look, man, this guy should not be posting this stuff. Like, I don't agree. Like, even if you want to do the interview with the guy, don't post that clip. And if there's no good clip, just post a still screenshot and let people decide if they want to go watch that. But I just thought it was kind of disrespectful, man. I don't know, Prince, if we had a guest on that was like intoxicated, inebriated, whatever term, what would you do?
Well, of course, we wouldn't go through with the podcast. I mean, we'd have to reschedule it. I mean, again, it's like, you know what, Tim, we also got to look at it this way. It's I feel like it's like a new generation. It's like a new thing now. It's like you want to catch everyone at the worst. And that's the only way you can get publicity, get people to actually watch and listen, right? I mean, fortunately for us, Fight Insight, we're all about the respect. We're all about the love. We're all about the positive vibes. And, you know, with that, I mean, it's very distasteful. I mean, I honestly do not think that was a good idea. And you're just showing somebody at their lowest point, right? And so just to get those views. So I totally do not agree with that. And I'm hoping, you know, it doesn't become a trend where, you know, you're trying to catch somebody at their worst. So, yeah. What do you think, Tim?
No, yeah, I'm glad that you say it, Prince. I mean, I know, you know, you've talked a bit about yourself before, talking about how you work in mental health and stuff like that, right? So I don't know, man. I'm glad that you say we wouldn't air it or that we would just rebook it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know that I would go through with the interview as I'm talking to someone. If they started talking like that or started going off, I feel like we would just be like, hey, you know what, buddy, maybe we'll talk to you another time, mm-hmm. right? Like, look, who are we, like, or who is anybody to be posting stuff like that? It's not like you're catching them in real life. Like, this would have been a scheduled interview. Mm-hmm. So, like, imagine, right? Like, you know, and you prep it, you know, like Ricky and us, we were talking a little bit before we started airing and stuff. And we talk about, hey, is there anything you want to talk about? Or is there anything you don't want to talk about? Those are kind of important things to do. And if the person started going off the rails, I don't know, man. Yeah, you will never see stuff like that on our podcast. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, there's no way I would let that stuff go out. It tarnishes your guest, but it tarnishes yourself, I feel.
Yeah,
I don't like it, but I wanted to talk about it because I thought that was, if people are seeing that, you know. Next thing, Prince, going off the whole MGK versus Connor thing, we said that we would mention it just a little bit. But let's talk about what happened at Triller on the weekend. The first fight was Tito versus Anderson. One punch knockout from Anderson Silva. Prince, your thoughts.
All right. So, I mean, wow. That was, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting to end that early. But I mean, as you could see, you know, even after the post interview, you talked, I guess they did an interview with Ortiz, and part of the reasons why he lost was just because, you know, he cut weight so fast. You know, he hasn't fought in how many years. You know, again, it's a boxing match as well. So, you know, a lot of reasons piled up the reason why he lost that event. And everyone knows Silva. Silva is a striker, right? And I mean, now you're just going toe to toe and you don't have to worry about the grappling. So, I mean, he's got that advantage, right? And, you know, he's still in there, sparring, and he was one of the latest ones to retire, so he still has that fight in him. So I was just surprised it ended so fast. I honestly thought it would go, you know, a little bit of a distance, but man, I don't know, Tim.
You're talking a lot for a fight that was obviously rigged. No,
yeah,
is this fake? That's my question.
You know, oh man, the way he fell. I mean, the way the punch got set up, it was just like, it was almost just like he was waiting for it.
It wasn't even so much the shot that he took that makes me think it was fake. And I pray to God it's not, because I don't want this. Yeah. I don't want our sport, or I don't want combat sports to go fake. Mm. what made me think it was fake was the flurry of punches that Tito was throwing at him before he got knocked out. Tito was throwing like the softest baby hooks I've ever seen. And I'm just like, why is he throwing so soft? And then he got knocked out, which in real time, it didn't even look that bad. When you slow it down and you do the replay and the different angles, sure, it looked good. But I don't know, man. He definitely took the shot. I'm not saying all that. But like, it was very reminiscent of Askren Paul. You're just looking at it. You're like, wait a second. Is this real? I don't know. The main event, Prince. TRT Vitor, fully juiced as I predicted, right? Looks massive. Michael Bisping was on something commenting going, this is the fourth puberty that this guy has gone through in his life, right? Like he's just massive muscles. He takes out Evander Holyfield, who looked like he had no business being in the ring. He tripped and fell at one point, then he was stumbling on another, and then he finally just starts taking unanswered shots. The ref calls it. Prince, thoughts?
All right. Yeah. You know what? I mean, again, another early stoppage. I wish it went a little bit longer.
Early stoppage?
Yeah. Like,
crazy?
I mean, people came in there to watch, like, you know, a fight. Like, I mean, at least make it to the second round. Like, you know
what
I mean?
There was no fight to be had. Vitor was doing what is exactly what I thought Tito would do. Go in there. Maul, throw everything you can to stop this guy. I mean, Vitor was not faking a thing. You wanted Evander to take more shots?
Well, no, I didn't want the person to get hurt, but I mean, I think he, you know, just let the round go and see what happens. If he wasn't like throwing anything at all, if he wasn't keeping his hands up, then definitely stop the fight. But I mean, man, if like, you have two fights ending both in the first round.
Okay, the first one, that's not the ref's fault. The guy just decided to lie down. Like, okay. I can't do anything. All but right. The second one, that guy, 58-year-old Evander Holyfield, taking TRT-fueled bombs again.
But you have to say
I hope he's not on allegedly. The guy was juiced to the gills, allegedly. He's throwing hard as heck shots, man. And I both know you can turtle up as much as we want. If you're taking big bombs, it hurts like heck.
But you know what? You got to say for Holyfield, for his age, he looks pretty good. Like he's, you know, for his
sure.
age, right?
Yeah, and I can pray to God I look like that ever in my life, like a 58-year-old Holyfield. Like I, you know what I mean? Like I would never look like him, but I don't think he could take shots. And at the speed and force that those shots were going, if one did land clean to his noggin, that's lifelong damage, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, Holyfield was saying, I mean, you know, he's been in those situations before. I mean, he's
20 years ago.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I think it would have been nice to go through the second round just to see. And then, you know what?
I used to go on roller coasters 20 years ago, Prince. You think I'm going to go on a roller coaster now? I'll be throwing up everywhere. I'll have nausea for days. No, like things change, man, over time.
Oh, man. Crazy. Know. But it was still, it was still a fun event. There was, a lot of stuff that went down in that event. I mean, you saw Trump go up in on the mic. And
yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah,
that was pretty cool. So, yeah, it was a very interesting thing to watch. And I mean, you saw the call out after Jake Paul, Belfort.
Of course. Right? So that's never going to happen.
We'll see. $30 million on the line. Yeesh, that's a lot.
Who I think Jake Paul just recently was calling out Masvidal now, which I think is a lot better fight. I think that's a good fight.
Mm-hmm. And I think, aren't they boys? I think they're like
they were before. Yeah. Wow. All right. Last thing before we go, Prince, we've got a couple minutes left. We'll go a little bit over the hour, but just for the, I mean, this card is a interesting card. Not a lot of your greater known competitors. So let's just talk about the main event. But before we do, Raquel Pennington, our former guest of the podcast, she finally has her return fight. She was supposed to fight when she came on our podcast. She was thinking it was going to be June, right? June or July, against this very same competitor, Pani Kianzad, that was who she kind of hinted to us. Mm-hmm. So it is her. Now, Pani instead had another fight previous to this one in between that. So I guess something might have happened to Raquel, but Raquel fights this weekend. So when you're hearing this on Friday, she's fighting on Saturday. Obviously, we wish Raquel the best of luck. We are Team Rocky all the way. Team Rocky,
good luck.
But let's talk about the main event, Prince. You got Lionheart, Anthony Smith versus mm-hmm. Superman, Ryan Spann. I think I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got, Prince, and why?
You know what? I think I'm going to go with, Smith. Okay. With Smith, he's been in
experience
MMA because of the experience, and he's been in there. He's almost like the gatekeeper. Like if Spann doesn't go in there and try and knock him out and do something to win against him, then the division's just gonna stay the same. Like if you don't beat him, and who else? Right? Who else can you step next to? Right? So, and they're both coming out of knockouts as well. So they're all coming out of victory, the both of them. And so, I say Smith will take this fight.
Yeah, I'm. Dang it, man! I normally love to go against you, Prince, but I think I'm going to go with you on this one. I think I'm going to say Smith. I think he's got a weird career, right? He's been going up and down. His last fight was against Jimmy Crute, where he deadened the guy's leg, right? Mm-hmm. With the leg kick. Yep. He was doing well in that fight before, but he was taking a lot of shots. No, changing my opinion. That's right. When he beat Jimmy Crute, he was kind of losing that fight a little bit. And then it was those leg kicks that started to turn it around for him. And it was because the leg kick deadened that nerve that Crute couldn't compete. That's why the fight got called. No, I'm going to go Ryan Spann.
Ryan Spann. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you look very excited about my pick.
Wow.
As I talk it out, Prince, I figured it out.
So you're going to go with Spann? Well, listen, Spann is athletic. He's pretty, he's good on his feet, especially for a guy that size. Mm-hmm. I honestly, he's a hard hitter, right? And so it's going to be interesting. And Spann, he still needs to make a statement in that division. And so if that's he right. takes Smith, then it's going to be a big thing. So expect a really interesting matchup between these two, right? So
yeah, we will. All right, buddy. I think we are just past the 1 hour mark now, so this makes it perfect for our normal length of podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Prince, this was amazing, man. Thank you so much. I know Prince is the one, guys, that really worked at getting Ricky on this show, so we are so happy that he came on. That is a huge pull. I think next week's going to be amazing when we have a BKFC fighter. Man, I have so many questions to ask, right? Boy. And we've got a few BKFC fighters lined up, guys. So, but our first one, I've got tons of questions. How the hell do you train for bare knuckle fighting?
Oh my gosh, Tim, you took my question right off my head, literally. I'm like, how do you train for this thing? Unless you have like elementary school background where you're just scrapping.
Yeah.
I
have no idea. Where are you finding sparring partners? You know what I mean? Like just on the street? Like, I don't know where that happens, but very exciting. Prince, I had a wonderful time with you, my friend. I do have to go. I know you have to go. Thank you so much. This was an amazing podcast. Anything you want to say before we go, buddy?
Guys, follow, subscribe, YouTube, follow us on Instagram,
and
Spotify. You already know. Follow down in the bottom, okay? Midday Squares. All right, you guys know what to do. Yeah.
There's going to be videos around here. There's going to be videos around there. There's going to be something to subscribe to around here. Go do all that stuff. Support us. Buy the Midday Squares. Blah, blah, blah. Prince, you're looking great.
Thanks, buddy. You looking amazing, buddy. I got to get a blazer just like that.
No, the H&M is closed.